The book of Proverbs, if you have your Bible, chapter 18 and verse 10. The book of Proverbs is a wonderful book of practical common sense and useful information. Anyway, Proverbs chapter 18, verse 10. Let's give you a moment to find it. Proverbs 18, verse 10. Then you'll need to turn to the book of Genesis. But Proverbs 18, verse 10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. I love towers. If I see a tower that's open to the public, you bet I'll be up it. Not far from where I live in Leith Hill, which is the highest point in southeast England at 965 feet, a tower was constructed in the 19th century. It's 35 feet high. And so when you go up inside, it's all run by the National Trust, when you go up inside, you're 1,000 feet above sea level, with splendid views of Kent, Sussex, Surrey, Berkshire, even on a good day, through the gap in the Downs to the English Channel, all that distance from the top of this tower. One of the towers I have yet to go up is the I-360 in Brighton. I haven't been up that one yet, because that's just reopened. It was closed for quite a long time, but they've reopened it now. And so the Bible says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it, and they are safe. Now, in our reading, we were in Genesis chapter 11, and we were seeing about another tower, the Tower of Babel. Now, I want to say this, first of all, about the book of Genesis. If I was to ask you a question, which is the most important book in the Bible, what would you say? Some might say one of the Gospels. Some might say one of Paul's letters. But I would say the most important book in the Bible is the book of Genesis. Because the book of Genesis is a book of origins, how everything started. Now, the book of Genesis is probably attacked more by liberal thinkers than any other book in the Bible. The book of Genesis is the foundational book of the Bible. If you take away Genesis, everything else collapses. I want you to notice that. For instance, we have the origin of nations in verse 32 of chapter 10. These were the families of the sons of Noah, according to their generations, in their nations, and from these the nations were divided on the earth after the flood. So there we have the origin of nations. Now, what about the origin of clothing? We all have to wear clothes, of course. Where did it all start? It started in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 7. This is Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. So there we have the origin of clothing. What about the origin of sin? Now, this is an even more important matter. Sin, we know, came through the sin of Adam in the Garden of Eden. Romans chapter 5, verse 12 says this: therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men, because all sinned. Now that's the origin of sin. Adam's sin. Now if you're an evolutionist, you don't believe there was such a person called Adam, because you believe that we over large eons of time progressed from monkeys or apes into human beings. And the theory of evolution is one of the greatest pieces of fake news ever brought upon the world. God is our creator. We are made in his image. The Bible says we are fearfully and wonderfully made. You consider the human body, how amazing it is. You consider your feet that take the weight of your body, the bones in your legs and feet that take your weight every day. Your brain that is far more efficient than any computer that you might have at home. Your eyes that you can see, your ears that you can hear, your nose that you can smell. All these are God's wonderful creation when he created man in his image. Now, if you say there was no Adam and we all evolved from apes and there's no sin did not come into the world in the Garden of Eden, if you say that the Garden of Eden story is, it's just a nice story, it's just a sort of fairy story, a fable. If you say that, the whole gospel is undermined. Because if there is no original sin, if sin didn't come into the world, then Jesus needn't have died on the cross. It undermines the gospel. Therefore, the book of Genesis is the most important book in the Bible. And I hope if you get the time that you will sit and read and study it, because I find it very, very fascinating indeed. Now we have in Genesis chapter 11 this story of the Tower of Babel. And at that point the whole earth, we read, had one language and one speech. And men were journeying from the east. They found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And then they said, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone and asphalt for mortar. Well, here we have the origin of bricks. Isn't that fascinating? This chapel's made of bricks. I was in Brighton recently. I know I keep on about Brighton, but I was down there recently, and I've seen two very remarkable brick structures in Brighton. And if you're ever down there, go and have a look at them. The first is the Church of St. Bartholomew. It's the tallest parish church in Britain. I think I've got some facts here. Yeah, it's the tallest one in Britain. It's named after St. Bartholomew, one of the apostles. It is made of 12 million bricks. There's not one stone in it. It's off the London Road. It's high Anglican. And they have mass there, which they shouldn't do, because that's contrary to the 39 Articles of the Church of England. That's another matter. It's an amazing building. Also, as you enter Brighton, you'll see Joseph Ratzrick's viaduct that carries the London to Lewes Railway. The Brighton to Lewes Railway. This viaduct contains 10 million bricks. Its length is 370 metres. It has 27 spans at the height of 20 metres. An amazing brick structure, an amazing piece of Victorian architecture. So here in Genesis, we have the origin of bricks. And of course, as time progressed, men began to build with bricks. Of course, also they built with stone and so on. And I guess the bricks here wouldn't be quite the same as our sort of modern day bricks that we still make today, but the whole thing is quite interesting. So they said, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. And they had bricks for stone and asphalt for mortar. So that's what they did. Now, mortar is a mixture of lime, sand, and water. And because at that point there was only one language, they were able to help each other, because each one understood what the other was saying. And so they said, come, let us build a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Now this morning we were speaking about heaven, and I said this morning, for those who weren't here, there are three heavens in the Bible. We read that in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. There are three heavens, and there's the first heaven, which is just where clouds are and aircraft fly and birds fly, and the second heaven is probably sort of outer space, and then the third heaven is where God dwells, God's throne. Well, this one was going to be really just in the first heaven. We don't quite know how tall it was going to be, but they were going to build this big tower that would, whose top would be in the heavens. So they said, let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered over the face of the whole earth. They wanted to make a name for themselves. And there are people like that today, perhaps, who want to make a name for themselves. They might be politicians, they might be sports stars or entertainment personalities, or people like that. They like to be in the limelight. They want to make a name for themselves. And there are many of them like that around today. And so that's what they began to do. And verse 6, it says, the Lord said, indeed the people are one, and they all have one language, and this is what they begin to do. Now nothing they propose to do will be withheld from them. God let them start it, okay? He let them start building this. But then God intervenes in verse 7. Come, let us go down and confuse their language. And notice the word us is there. It doesn't say I'm going down to confuse their language. It says let us go down and confuse their language. This is an Old Testament reference to the Trinity. Father, Son and Holy Spirit. Let us go down and confuse their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of all the earth, and they ceased building the city. They started, God let them start, but they then ceased building the city. So this was God's response to their defiance, because really when they were building this, what they were really doing was defying God, sticking their thumbs up at God, saying, no, we don't want, we can do this. Man is greater than God. We can do all this. They were mocking God by doing what they tried to do in commencing to build the tower and the city. Now, in Galatians 6:7, we read, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For if he sows to his flesh, will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit, will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. God is not mocked. And there are those today who will mock God. Humanists and atheists mock God. They say he doesn't exist. The Bible says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. God is not mocked. And if people mock him, they will pay, I think, a terrible price. But here, God let them start building the tower and the city before stopping them. And sometimes he lets us to sort of go on in our sin, perhaps, until we repent. He does that for us in his love and in his mercy. He will just let us go on and then bring us under conviction of sin and of our need of the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice he doesn't destroy them. He scatters them. He scatters them. He doesn't destroy them. This we see here, the mercy of God. Verse 6, the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of all the earth, and they ceased building the city. Now, another origin we have here is the origin of languages. There was only one language at the commencement of chapter 11. But after they had been scattered, their language was confused, so they did not understand one another's speech. So there's the origin of languages. And we have thousands of languages in the world today, and dialects, and so on. And this is a great challenge, a missionary challenge, to Christian broadcasters today, who use radio and the TV and the internet today to proclaim the gospel. There are so many languages in the world. There are languages that you and I will have never heard of, but they are being used by Christian broadcasters into Africa and into Asia. I've got a book at home called The World Radio and Television Handbook, and that lists all the schedules of every radio station in the entire world, including the Christian broadcasters. And if you look up under Trans World Radio, or you look up under FEBA, FEBC Radio, there is a long list of languages. Now, some of the languages we know: French, German, Italian, Polish, Russian, Ukrainian, Spanish, Portuguese, all those sort of languages, European languages we know, we have heard about them, but yet you go to Africa, there are languages, or into Asia, there are languages that you and I would have never heard of. But God is using radio today and the internet and so on, that the gospel is going out in these different languages today. So the Lord scattered them, and we have the origin in Genesis of languages. But verse 9 says, the Lord scattered them abroad there over the face of the earth, and they ceased building the city. Therefore its name is called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth. Babel, or Babylon. What is Babylon? Babylon means confusion. That's what the word means. The world today is Babylon. You and I live in Babylon, a world that is confused, a world where there is wars and rumours of wars, a world where there is much suffering and strife due to sin. We live in that world today, the world of Babylon, a world of confusion. And in Revelation 14, verse 8, we're told that one day something's going to happen to Babylon. And another angel followed, saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she has made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Babylon is going to come to an end one day, when the day of the Lord comes, which is, of course, mentioned hundreds of times in the Bible. But we have that wonderful verse in Proverbs, don't we? The name of the Lord is a strong tower. A tower is a strong place. It's high, and so those who are on the top can see all around them, all around. They can see what's happening. They can see what's coming. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. You may have problems in your life of one thing or another, I don't know. But are you turning to that strong tower? Are you turning to the Lord? For the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it, and they are safe. Are you running tonight to that strong tower, which is our God and his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us and rose again and ascended into heaven, and one day is coming back again? Let's pray, shall we?